It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me remind you once again that it is a good life. Thank you for joining me today. Well, you know, as we look into the Word of God, God is so good to us. He gives us so many encouragements. And let me say this, that the Christian life is the best life that there ever could be. Not only does God take care of us here while we're on this earth, but He's promised to give us eternal life. And in fact, we have that eternal life right now. We're just waiting for Him to come back and say, come up hither. And He takes us to be with Him in the rapture of the church. Maybe, you know, we may go before then. We may close our eyes. And the Bible says that it's like going to sleep. And that's what it likens the death of a Christian, falling asleep. And I believe that when death comes, that it's like falling asleep and waking up in the arms of Jesus. And He's going to say, welcome home, my child. Well, today we're going to look once again at one of those tidbits of truth in Psalm chapter 62 and verse 7. It says there, in God is my salvation. Well, we know that once we've trusted Him as our Savior, in God is my salvation. And if you do not know that, then you need to make God the God of your salvation. In other words, ask Jesus to come into your heart today and He'll save you. It says, in God is my salvation and my glory. We're to glory in the Lord. We're to be happy that He first loved us. The verse goes on to say, the rock of my strength. He is the foundation. He is my strength. I can't depend upon my flesh. I can't depend upon another human being. God is the rock of my strength and my refuge. I can hide myself in the Lord. And it says, is my God. He is my God, and I trust that He is your God. And if not, you need to make Him your God by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
So far in James chapter 2, James has spoken about showing partiality, showing favoritism to people, some because they're rich and others because they're poor, some because they have possibly good clothes and others that do not have such good clothes. And what the Lord is speaking to our hearts about today is we should not favor one person over another. We should not show partiality to individuals. We're to fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, according to James chapter 2 and verse 8. That royal law says to love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes that's not easy to do, and we really can't do that unless we know Jesus is our Savior, and then He works through us and helps us through that. As we pick up our study today in James chapter 2, we look at verse 9. It says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. That's pretty plain. And if you show partiality to people, you sin, according to this verse, and you're guilty of breaking the royal law. And then we move into verses 10 through 11 of chapter 2, 10 and 11. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. All sin is sin. God sees sin as sin, and we need to understand that. Breaking one law of God is the same as breaking all the law, according to verses 10 and 11 of James chapter 2. In James chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, so speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. In other words, so speak and do as one who is judged by the law of liberty. Love thy neighbor as thyself. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, God has made it possible for you and I to be freed from this sin of partiality, of showing favoritism to people. And it's through the law of liberty, love thy neighbor as thyself. We can't do that on our own. It has to be through the working of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, the person who shows no mercy, according to verse 12 of chapter 2, the person who shows no mercy will receive judgment without mercy. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." That doesn't mean if you're not showing mercy, or if you are showing partiality or favoritism towards someone or a group of individuals, doesn't mean that you're lost if you've been saved. It simply means that you are without excuse in the sight of God. There is no excuse for doing that. In verse 13, the Bible goes on to say that mercy produces joy in judgment. Doing what is right in this life produces joy. Doing what is right in order to have joy now and forever is to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember, verse 13 says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." In other words, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because when this life is over with and you've not received Christ, God cannot show mercy towards you. There will be no mercy. His mercy is right now. He's showing mercy toward individuals who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He showed His love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now we move over into a different section here. I would call this faith becomes visible by works. And this is seen in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We're going to try to cover those verses now. Faith and works. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19 talks about this. Verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" In other words, what is gained, Christian, if you do nothing? That's what it's saying here in the first part of that verse. And can faith save? In verse 14 and the rest of that verse, can faith save him? Well, let's keep reading. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Well, what is gained by simply saying empty words? This is what these verses are teaching here. You can say, okay, I'm going to give you $100 to help you out with your mortgage or whatever, and then you walk away and you don't do that. Well, not only you've lied, and not only that, you've not helped that individual. Well, if that person says, "I need $100 to help with my mortgage," and you said, and you look at that individual, now you're able to do it, but you look at that individual and you say, "God bless you," and you turn around and you walk away. And I'm just giving you an example here. It could be a number of things. But I want to look back where it talks about works here in verse 14. This is not speaking of the fact that a person who does not do good works, it does not mean that you're not saved if you don't do good works. It's saying here that men see the outward sign of a Christian. And we're going to see that in just a few moments here as we keep studying in the book of James chapter 2. Look at verse 17 and 18. "Even so, if it hath not works, is dead." This is talking about faith. "Being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." What James is saying here is that faith without works is lifeless. It's by itself. In verse 18, the first part of that verse, it says, "Yea, a man may say." Yes, a man could say, "You have faith, but I have works." And then a man could say, "Let me see your faith without your works." And the rest of that verse, verse 18, a man could say, "You will see my faith by my works." I believe the man spoken of in verse 18 is an unsaved individual, or a saved person who is confused, not grounded in the Word of God. Remember, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." things not seen by man, the natural eye. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By it, the it is faith, something not seen by man. And the elders received a good report. If unseen, faith was good enough for the elders. Then we have to understand this, that God sees the heart. God sees the faith. Man sees the works. It's by works that a man sees another man. In other words, we can say all day long that we're a Christian to this lost and dying world, but unless it's evidenced in our lives as saved people, then the man on the outside looking in, he doesn't see the Christian. He sees a person who is really lifeless, a person who says, I'm saved on my way to heaven, but that person is showing no evidence of that salvation. Remember, God sees the heart. Man received Jesus with his heart. He receives Christ by saying, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. But man can't see the heart. Only God sees the heart. So therefore, what James is trying to show us here, we need to have that outward sign of being saved, that outward appearance, not to be saved, but so that this world can see that there is evidence that we have passed from death unto life. Verse 19 of James chapter 2 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now it is good that you believe in your head, James seems to be saying here, that there is a God. He goes on to say, demons also know about God, and the evidence of their belief is uncontrollable shaking. In verse 19 it says, the devils also believe and they tremble. So many people today, I believe, have a head knowledge of Jesus. They have a head knowledge of God. They know that Jesus existed. They know that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. They have that head knowledge from reading accounts of the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but they've never actually asked him to come in to their heart. And that's what the Bible's speaking of here. You do well if you realize all this, but that's not enough. You must receive him as your Lord and Savior. The demons believe, but they are not saved. In other words, they believe that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected, but of course we know they can't be saved. But they believe, they know, but yet they're not saved. And James is comparing that to a person who knows all about God, or they've read about him, and they're still not saved. They have that head knowledge, but they do not have him living within their heart. Well, next time we're going to pick up with verse 20 of James chapter 2, and we're going to continue on reading about evidences and faith and works and things that a saved person is to exhibit, and what the unsaved people of this world sees in our lives. They see us. Do they see us as a saved person living for the Lord, or someone who's just like them, who do not have Christ as their Savior? Let me invite you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. That's an exciting place to go to look at Bible verses, to get Bible study helps, to listen to this program again and other programs. There's over 200 programs of It's a Good Life that you can download on that website, lrwm.org. Well, it's been good being with you today, and let me invite you to tune in again when you'll hear me say, it is a good life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.